deserves a standing ovation. Hallelujah. Come on, if you have strength in your body, if God has done something for you just today, stand to your feet. Come on, give them some glory. Give them some honor. Give them some praise. Let them know how much you appreciate what God has done, what he is doing, and what he's yet to do in your life. By faith, hallelujah, we're going to see the victory. We're going to see God do great and mighty things as we align our thought life with his word. Hallelujah. God says he loves a cheerful giver. Amen. So today we can give of ourselves. We can give of our praise. We can give of our worship. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but God has been good to me. And judging by the look of you, he's been good to you all as well. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I tell you, I'm excited today. I'm blessed today because we know the presence of the Lord is in this place. Hallelujah. You may take your seats if you desire. Hallelujah. We're going to let God have his way today. That's the only way that his will be done. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Before we get to the word, I just want to acknowledge and say thank you to those individuals who fill the pulpit in my absence, beginning with Minister Bruce Collins on the second Sunday. Then Elder Wiggins, and then Brother Otis Jones. They've done an outstanding job, and I can see, particularly in our younger ministers, how God is raising them up and growing them. I had an opportunity to witness God use Minister Bruce to officiate over homegoing service, and I was just in awe of how God just used that man to encourage the bereaved family and all those in attendance, and how God used him to, you know, just be a blessing even in the burial grave site service. He did an outstanding job, Brother Bruce, and that's just testament. When we give ourselves to God and we trust him, he goes to work. Praise his holy name. I also want to say thank you to you, Christ Fellowship Church. We were able in the last couple of weeks to get a little time away, some rest and relaxation and restoration, and return our third son, Marshall, back to Farham College, and all is well. Praise the Lord. So we just thank God for that. I'm excited to be here, and I'm ready for this push to end this year in the glory of the Lord. Are you ready?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Well, let's go before the Lord as we prepare our hearts. I believe we're already ready to hear the word of God. Father in heaven, we thank you and we bless you for this divine moment where, Lord, you can speak to your people through your servant, Walter. I pray, Father God, that they won't see Walter, but they will see Christ in me, the hope of glory. That they would, Lord, hear what the Spirit is saying to them individually, and then to us corporately as a church. Father, we thank you for your word, which is alive. It's powerful, it's active, it's moving, oh God. It is a discerner of our thoughts and the intents of our heart. And Father, as we receive your word, Father God, we are blessed. We're protected, Lord God. We have everything that pertains unto this life and unto godliness. So Father, your word, go forth and accomplish that which you purposed it to accomplish. As we, Lord God, aspire in our hearts to will and to do according to your good pleasure. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray and declare and decree these things. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, beloved, I must admit, as I was preparing to come before you, I was torn between two messages, even early this morning. But when I got here, I got confirmation through through the songs that the voices of praise sang and the testimonies that came forth. And what God wants us to hear today is his perspective on work. You know, tomorrow we celebrate in this country Labor Day. And we understand and know that we're living in challenging times, not just in this country, but in the world. The economy, we find itself failing. We find that we can't trust in the riches of this world through human effort. And so God wants to give us a word of encouragement today. God wants to give us a word of instruction to remind us that he has already provided for what we need. God is the one who has blessed us, and he's the one through whom every good and perfect gift comes from. And see, as we align ourselves with the word of God, and we embrace it and begin to walk by faith, and that's why I was so encouraged by Angelica's testimony, because it represents where many of us are. We're seeking God for direction. There are some in our presence right now who are unemployed. Some recently lost their job. Some are underemployed. Some who are retired or semi-retired, and their incomes have been cut. And we've been seeking God and asking God, Lord, how can we make it? How can we continue to be able to pay our bills? So you know what? God has the answer. And he wants us to understand and know that it's in his word. And so, beloved, I just have one scripture that we're going to speak from. And that scripture is found in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. And in the King James Version, it reads, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do what, Cecil? Do all, hallelujah, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus, pardon me, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Whatsoever you do in word or in deed." And that covers how we have our activity in this life, either by word or by deed. Paul encourages the church at Colossae to do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. How? By giving of thanks to God and the Father by him. And even when we're challenged by our economy, even when we find ourselves what appears to be shortchanged, when we take on the mind of God and we are not conformed to the ways of the world, and we're transformed in our thinking and our actions by the word of God, guess what? The word becomes alive. It becomes active, and God then is required to sustain and to uphold his word. And so when we're walking in the word of the Lord, guess what? It ceases to become our responsibility, and it becomes God's responsibility. Now, I want to draw a couple of parallels between the way the world perceives work and the way God desires for us to perceive work. Well, guess what? When we are employed and the world is what we're focused on, what the world says is we should try to earn the highest income that we can. We should save as much money toward our retirement plan or whatever other goals and aspirations we might have to advance our own kind of lifestyle. And the world says that when you reach a certain point, years of service, or you've accumulated a certain amount of money, you should then retire, eat, drink, and be merry, and live life, as we would think, the good life. But I want us to understand and know that God has a different perspective, and we have to draw the line between what the world perceives as work and what God perceives by work. And let me first start by a definition, a biblical definition of what work is. And these definitions are found both in the Hebrew and the Greek. Work is described as employment, okay, labor, but here's the difference from a godly perspective. Work is deputyship or ministry. Say ministry.
Ministry.
So what that means is that from God's perspective, whether we get a paycheck from a corporation or for some man or not, we all have the responsibility for ministry. Yeah. Now, what is ministry? When we look at what ministry really is to help, is to aid, is to advance the cause of someone other than ourselves.
Amen.
And that's why when we see the two commandments that Jesus Christ gave his disciples, he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Part of us fulfilling the entire blessings, the complete, the fullness of God's blessings, is that we advance the cause of someone other than ourselves. And so what God would have me to tell us today is, saints, he wants you and I to minister out of our own needs. Now, some of us, many of us, are in need of finances. It takes quite a bit of money to live, particularly in this area. But in this world, it takes resources, financial resources. God understands that. He wants to provide that. He's the one who owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He's the one who came that we might have life and we might have it more abundantly. He's the one who says if we would seek first his kingdom, his way of thinking, his way of us living, he says when we seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, having the moral character that God desires for us to have, he says then, he says all these things, there's that word again, all these things, he says, I will add unto you. And so first and foremost, we've got to get the mindset of God when it comes to work. And I want to reiterate the fact that if you have strength in your body, enough strength in your body to even talk on the telephone, you have the ability to minister and to do work.
Come on. Come on.
Yeah.
And that's why I was so excited to hear our sister Barbara's testimony. You see, God provided for her because she was not looking for her own self-aggrandizement, but she was looking to the good of others. And what did God do? He multiplied back to her that which she gave to someone else. And so I want to talk to somebody today. Look, if you need money, here's what I would recommend that you do. Find some cause that you can volunteer. All right, it's getting quiet in here. Listen, I know I'm right. I know I'm right. The Lord Jesus Christ says, look, I did not come to be ministered to, but I came to minister. And to give my life a ransom for many. And if we're disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, and his life is going to be our example, we must see work as ministry. Now, those of you who have a job, it's not a secular job versus a, you know, spiritual job. It is ministry.
Yes, it is.
I don't care what you do. You can drive a truck. You can dig ditches.
That's right.
You can be a janitor. That is ministry, and God intends for you right where you're employed or volunteering, whatever the case might be. He expects you to minister, and that means that we find or we seek someone whom we can help. And see, when we give sacrificially as the Lord Jesus Christ gave, he promised us that he would see to it that men will give how? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And I'm trying to give someone a key to a breakthrough. Because so many times we want to have a pity party. We want to look to some other means. We want to look to the government. And I'm not saying that if you're entitled to these benefits, you should not take advantage of them. Don't get me wrong. But I'm saying that is not our source.
Amen.
Our source is God himself.
Yes. That's right.
the one whom we have access to, his glorious, his inexhaustible riches in glory, by whom? Christ Jesus. And so if we really believe that, we will begin to walk in it by faith. Many of us have health issues, and what I would recommend is that you find someone to pray for. Go by the hospital from time to time. Go to the nursing home. See, as we give out of our need, God will do a miracle. Isn't that what happened with the widow with one mite? She gave the very last that she had, and God did a miracle because she dared to have faith in the fact that God could provide for her. And so I want us to look at work as ministry. Say ministry.
Ministry.
And so as we look at work as ministry, what it means then is we have to put ourselves in a position to represent God.
Yes.
Now, let me make something clear. I'm not saying that you have to be witnessing to people on the job. Now, if God allowed you to do that on your off time or at the lunch place, be led by the Spirit, okay? But I'm not suggesting that you break the law. I'm not suggesting that you do something against, your supervisor or the policies of that company, because that's disobedience. God tells us we're to respect the authorities over us. But what I am saying to you is that there are people that God has placed in your midst and in my midst that he wants us to share the hope that lies within us. And if we're walking around, like we're defeated, that we don't, we don't have what it takes to survive in this world, guess what? Nobody's going to want the God that you and I serve. And so when we're happy and we're exuberant about what God can do and will do when we're in his will, guess what? God shows up. And so when we look at work as ministry, we need to understand that the reason that God initiated and commenced work was for our own good. The account in Genesis, when he created the world, God, what? He worked 6 days, right? Creating the world. And it says the seventh day he rested. But God is our example. He worked. Why? So that you and I would be able to enjoy this life. So that Adam and Eve, the first man, would be able to live in an environment that would be conducive to them having fellowship with God, for them having dominion over the earth, for them being a blessing. And that hasn't changed. God still wants us to have dominion in the earth. He still wants us to be a blessing. He still wants us to be his ambassadors in the earth, but it has to be on his terms.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
And so what did he do? He gave them a job. After Adam and Eve were created, didn't he give Adam a job? First Adam, he told him what? To till the ground, to keep the garden. And he gave Eve as his helpmeet. Hallelujah. Now let me say something to you. Lady, say you love me.
I love
that was weak. Amen. Maybe you don't know what I'm going to say. So. Y'all are smart. Amen. But do you love me anyway?
Yes.
All right. And you can't go wrong by saying I love you back. I love you too, brothers. But here's my point. God made this clear to me. Those of us, ladies in particular, who are married, men the same, God has called us to be able to minister in the area of employ that he has placed both of us, if two are working. But particularly, ladies, God has called you to be a helpmeet to your husband.
Yeah.
And what I find is that sometimes there's competition in the home.
Amen.
Regarding who's going to make the most money and who's going to have the say over the way the house is run. Amen. Because I make more money, I got more say. That's the way of the world. The world says, look, he who has the most toys, who has the most influence, who has the most pride in their theory on their power is the one who wins. No, that's not the way God intended it. And so here's a blessing for some of you, and it may be a breakthrough for you. Do what you can to advance the career of your husband, and husbands, the same should be towards your wife. There should be no competition.
Amen. That's right. That's right.
Now, I want to give you an example, and it happens to be someone who was in my family, my aunt. She married a man who was a quadriplegic. In fact, I think it was like a month before they were getting married. He was in the military. He was in a Jeep. He ran over a landmine. The landmine exploded. It threw him from the Jeep. And the fall caused him to lose movements from the waist down. But she went ahead and married him. And what God intended for him to do was to be a lawyer. He had a good mind. All right? Well, she had a teaching job, full-time teaching job at the college level, Norfolk State University. But she would help that man with his tests. She would help him with the preparation of his papers. And I can remember very vividly, he gave her credit for him receiving his Juris Doctor degree, Charles and Paul. Now, the reason God blessed them, they didn't have to want for anything, I really believe was the heart that she had toward her husband. Now, ladies, I don't care if your husband is a nuclear physicist or he's just one who, you know, has a paper route. God has called you to be a helpmate to him. Isn't that what the word says? Now, likewise, brothers, men, God wants us to advance the cause of our wives and those in our households. We're not to lord over them. We're to set the environment for them to grow as well. But what I find in the house of God is there's competition between husband and wife. And then we wonder why certain things aren't getting done, or bills aren't getting paid, why we're struggling. And God is trying to get our attention. Can you receive that?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, I had to speak to the couples and those contemplating marriage because God would have me say that. But I want to speak to the young people as well. Young people, remember that the only reason you have the job that you have is because of God.
Amen.
And don't make the mistake that I made. You know, I wanted to do everything I could to pay my bills off, all my student loans, and I forgot about God. I knew that my responsibility was to give God a portion. In fact, he says, as you prospered you, we say 10% because that's a good starting point. But really, the New Testament Christian should give as God prospers you and I. And what that means is God intends for us to have enough so that we can not only meet our bills, but we have enough so that we can give to his kingdom and to help others. See, part of the reason that God gives us work, he gives us the power to get wealth, is not so much that we have it for ourselves and our family, but that we have an overflow that we can be a blessing to others. And so God simply wants us to remind us today in these tough economic times, This world system is gaining, it's advancing, and it's ushering in the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've got a DVD that I want to share with you all through the cell groups that deal with this one world government and how certain, the secret society and the rich and powerful are having a major influence over world leaders, including President Barack Obama. Now, why am I sharing that with you? What I'm sharing with you is times are going to be tough. They're going to be tougher than they are now.
Yeah.
And so we have to begin to lean solely and trust in the way God wants us to live and prosper in this world. And you know what? I want y'all to help me pray. I'm praying, Lord, how is the church supposed to deal with all the needs that will be coming forth?
Come on now.
And I know one of the reasons is the church should be an employer.
Amen.
That's one thing I know.
Amen.
God wants us to be able to put particularly our people to work and so that they can earn a good living. But we have to be in a position to do that. But the fact of the matter is, folks, that people are getting pink slips every day. People are losing their jobs. Our income is being cut from the world. But God has a plan for us. And our plan is if we are willing to give of ourselves, if we're willing to go beyond our comfort zone, if we're willing to seek and to save someone who is lost. And that may not necessarily mean the gospel. It could be an old lady down the street who just needs some help with some household chores. Now, brothers, make sure you get your wives' permission before you do that, all right? We got to use wisdom. But the point I'm trying to make, folks, is as we seek people that we can help, God then begins to access us with his kingdom resources. Thank you, Carol. Thank you. I want to say this, that one of the major reasons that God has placed the body of Christ in the earth is so that we can show the world that God is truly a good God. God is a faithful God.
Amen.
God is a miracle-working God when we trust him with all of our resources.
Amen.
And that's why Jesus says, look, where a man's treasure is, there also is his heart. He understood and knew that, you know, we have to make it. We have to live in this world. We have to survive. But he's prescribed a way for us to gain the accesses of this world.
Yeah.
But it's going to take faith, folks.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to take a change in mentality. It's going to take a working together.
Yeah.
And it begins at the home level. One of the things that I refuse to do is to marry a couple without them allowing me to counsel them, because you and I know that one of the ways that Satan can destroy marriages is through finance, disagreement and finances. And God has a way for us to deal with that. If we would perform our roles with humility, as we look to God, even when we're at points where we disagree, say, Lord, you know, I'm having an issue here, but I'm going to do it your way. Guess what? God will come to your rescue. He will hear your prayer. I want to say this. The Holy Spirit keeps putting this back in my spirit. Beloved, whatever your need is, minister out of your need. Minister out of your need. You see, God wants to have a major breakthrough in his body. He wants to transfer the wealth of the wicked to the just. But if we have the same mindset that they have and we're placing our trust in our 401k, in our savings, in our investments, hey, we can't receive that which God has for us. And so some of us, God is going to challenge us in our giving. Many of us, including myself, we have money that's been saved through retirement plans, We have money that have been, we've accumulated wealth through the property that we own and the appreciation on that property. I believe God is going to challenge some of us just like he challenged that rich young ruler. And he's going to say, give it all to me. Take up your cross and follow me. And the question is, will we do it? Or we will hold on to what we have. You see, with a clenched fist, you can't receive anything from God. But when we release our hand to him, not only are we able to give, but we're able to receive. So, beloved, it's a simple message today, but it's a message that will transform the way that God intends for us to be blessed in this day and in this time. It's an age-old prescription. Nothing's changed about it, but God wants us to know as we see more and more things happening in this world, it's going to challenge, test our faith. God wants us to understand, look, he is faithful. He is just. He is not a man that he should lie. And that his word he esteems even above his own name. When we talk about his word being esteemed above his own name, that's his character. God's name and the names of God are indicative of his character. So we can trust the word of God.